Hey, welcome back once again. It's time to grab your gear and hit the road as we take the highways and byways on the Pedego podcast, chronicling the e-bike revolution with the entrepreneurs behind the movement and the love stories of those just riding along. And today, well, we got a love story unlike any we've ever had, because we've got an engineer with us, and he's got a whole different take on how he tracks his progress here. Welcome, if you will, Richard Davis. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
You're down in Florida somewhere. You bought a Pedego, what, a couple of years ago here? Is that when you stumbled onto e-biking?
Yeah, we had been looking online for e-bikes, and the issue that we were running into, my wife and I, there was all sorts of online presence,
right,
but there was no place where you could go put your hands on one and test ride it and see if it fit and see what was out there.
Right.
And then we found Pedego 30A here in the Florida Panhandle and went there for a visit with my wife, her sister, and I, and the three of us. We took our old bikes and went, and our thought was to rent one and see how we liked it.
Right.
And Jason, the owner of the store, says, no, that's the wrong way to do this. So they rolled out three bikes, and we went through basically every model in the house and got a feel for, you know, the torque sensor versus the cadence sensor style, the
right,
beach bikes versus the commuter bikes, and got to do the full thing. So that was a lot of fun.
So you're somewhere in the Florida Panhandle. I'm told you're in Walton County. Where is that? Somewhere between Panama City and Pensacola. Those are the only two big cities I see up in that area there.
Yeah, we're actually in Panama City Beach, and the store itself is Pedego 30A. And 30A is a coastal road in southern Walton County.
Oh, I get it.
Gulf
okay.
Mexico there.
I get it. Okay. All right, so you got on one, and you decided to get a city commute bike, which suggests you're going to ride around the city of Pensacola Beach here, not ride around the world, or at least at least imagine yourself riding around the world here.
So we're in a coastal town here, and we've got some great beach roads and bike paths, and there's really no need to go off-road. I mean, there are trails and beaches, and I see a lot of beach bikes and beach e-bikes around, but my thing is basically there's so many paved paths and routes to travel that's kind of what we've been doing.
Particularly during COVID, I would think traffic's a little lighter and streets are a little more open. So during this couple years of the pandemic here, starting in 2018, you started riding more, I'm told, right? Riding around the area.
I think that's pretty typical of people that buy an e-bike, is you ride it and then you say, man, I can go a lot farther on this.
Yeah.
And so you start venturing out further and further. And then when the pandemic hit, there was no traffic out on the roads during the lockdown. So I said, well, what the heck? And you know, just set out one day and see how far you can go. And at that point, you pay attention to the battery because it makes for a long ride back when you run out of juice.
When you got to just pedal. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is you still can pedal. You're not stranded, but it's a little harder coming back than maybe you thought it was going to be here if you push yourself too far. All right, so it took you 2 years from March of 2018 to roll the odometer the first time. The odometer, as we were laughing about, is 10,000 kilometers, which is how many miles?
That is 6,213 and some fraction there.
See, I knew the engineer would know that. So 10,000, you went around. You said, okay, I just crossed 10,000 kilometers. That's a whole bunch of miles. And then another year goes by. It's Memorial Day weekend 2021. This is last year. And you roll the odometer a second time. You're doing a little faster. It took you 2 years to roll it the first time. It only took you 1 year to roll it the second time here.
Yeah, and that's a function of, again, once I started riding longer distance and going further out, it doesn't take very long for you to start really logging some miles there. And we have great weather here on the Florida coast, and it's just ideally suited for an e-bike.
All right. Now this gets really interesting. This is when the engineer turns into a data nerd here. So at some point you realized, I turned to 20,000 kilometers. That's a long way. Let me pull out my charts and look at this here. Let me pull out my maps. That's halfway around the world. And you start thinking about, maybe I could track how, let's pretend I really am going around the world. Where would I be today if I had left and went in a straight path around the world, around the globe here? And you created this chart. I wish everybody could see it. Maybe we'll put up a link to it or something. You start tracking your daily e-bike odometer, the actual miles, the comments of miles, and then you're measuring it in degrees longitude, like where would I be if I was not just going around and around my neighborhood, but going around the world. Explain this obsession. Where did this come from here?
Well, you can say, gee, I'm going to bike around the world. And everybody says, then that, where are you? You know,
yeah.
And how do you know whether you're on pace or what you're behind pace or whatever?
Yeah.
So what I did is looked at it from what are the milestones in terms of major cities around the world.
Yeah.
And that's what I've got there on May of Memorial Weekend last year, 2021.
Right.
I ended up halfway around the world and 180 degrees longitude.
If you just drag it, drag your finger right around the globe, straight around
yep.
it. Yeah.
That ends up in a place called Cox's Bazaar in Bangladesh.
How bizarre. Okay.
All right. And it happens to be longest beach in the world by whatever measure they select these things.
So you're imagining yourself, let's see if I really had gone 20,000 kilometers. Where would I be? I'd be at Cox's Bazaar. Isn't that bizarre? It's the longest. I live in a beach town. This is the longest beach in the world here.
Right. So if you're coming back, then you can go in.
Yeah, you got to keep going.
And
right.
You're going halfway, either west or east from there. And so what I try to do is, every 5 degrees longitude, what is the, largest or most populous city in close proximity to that longitude line? And that kind of kept me here we are on the global journey.
Yeah.
And then the other things are, where are we on the color-coded pace lines?
Color-coded pace lines, folks. He's not just charting this. He's not just imagining this journey. He's tracking it day by day, actual miles, turning it into kilometers, and then measuring it on the map and coming up with a pace. This guy is really in his mind going around the world.
So it's important to stay in touch with your inner nerd. Right?
Is that what it is? Okay. All right. Keep that engineer part of you alive there. This may surprise you, but I don't think anybody's ever thought of tracking their miles day by day on a daily spreadsheet and then trying to project, where would I be if I was flying to the moon? Where would I be if I was flying around the world here or something?
Well, and I started looking on Reddit and some of the online communities that are devoted to e-bikes. And what I was finding were posts by a lot of people that had a lot of time and they were working on bikes. Well, I want to ride the doggone.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
the fun part, right?
Exactly.
So,
I see the same thing. There are lots of people who are e-bike enthusiasts are passionate about it, and they want to talk gears and they want to talk about tinkering and tweaking and other data features like that. I don't think that's the fun part of the story. We tend to focus on what are you doing on the bike here?
Well, and again, recovering engineer here, I'm a sucker for reliable equipment, right?
Yeah, right.
So something that just, you hop on it and it runs. And that's what this is. I mean, it's been incredibly reliable. Now, I've gone through a ton of tires. I think on my seventh tire. I think I'm probably on the fifth set of brake pads. And,
right.
You know, I've been through some
the wearable
consumable
stuff.
Parts, sure.
Yeah. Right.
But as far as the thing just running, I mean, it's been just Swiss watch. I mean, I've been very, very pleased with it.
To hear that, because they certainly build it to that standard. I mean, that's what they shoot for here, and it's hard to hit perfection, but it sounds like it's been a perfect companion for you as you've gone around the world. So I'm looking at some of the spreadsheet you've got in front of me here. So on well, let's see here, May 1st of this year, if this had been a West Route city, if you'd kept going from, where was this beach, this bizarre place in Bangladesh or something?
Yeah, Cox's Bazar.
That's so, in the opposite opposite side of the world from here.
Yeah.
So if you were coming back on the West Route, you'd be in Natal, Brazil, or if you decided to take the east route back, because you're on the other side of the globe. You can come back sort of east, or you can come back west. You're right. Imagining what that would look like. What's it look like in Mangareva, French Polynesia right now? You just passed that on May 1st.
Yeah. What's funny about the Pacific is once I did this on the 5 degrees longitude,
right.
I started coming across, you know, Solomon Islands and Caroline Islands,
yeah.
all of these places that I've read about from World War II.
I am a World War II buff. My dad was a bomber pilot, World War II, so I grew up hearing all about World War II and studying
so
it.
Think, yeah, 5 degrees was the approximate range for some of those ships and when you had to refuel, and so that kind of dictated where some of the battles were.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, Midway Island was one of the milestones along the way.
A famous place that has nothing almost there except a little atoll and a little place midway between the Pacific as you're flying the old TWA Clippers across the ocean. They had to stop somewhere and refuel.
Yes, on the other side, the west route, going west from Bangladesh, I am now onto South American soil.
Yeah.
So I've got a contiguous land path to get me there. I'd have to make a U-ey and turn back east to go from, say, Texas to Florida. But the idea was, you know, to see where I'm at in terms of major milestones and landmarks, and then try to see if I'm on pace.
So do you dress accordingly? I mean, you're riding through Panama City, and people say, oh, he must be in South America right now because he's got gaucho hat on or something. Oh, he's in Tibet because he's wearing Buddhist robes today here or something. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, a year ago when I first started doing this.
I mean, you got to bring it to life, right? You got to make it to.
But, you know, the path from here going through Ukraine is a little bit different this year than it would have been last year.
Yeah, going to take a little detour there, I would think, or it's going to take a little longer to get through. You have to wear a flak jacket going through there right now. And then I like these ones, West Route City, Atlantic Ocean. So I'm drowning right now if I'm. Riding in a boat. Yeah.
There are points where you get in the world where there is just nothing there.
Yeah.
And
right.
it's just you're in the middle of the ocean. And even with some of these, like I'm sure today you were well aware of what was going on in Nuku'hiva, French Polynesia, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's there, but.
No,
there.
Exactly. So I'm wondering, I don't even know where Mangareva, French Polynesia is, but you just passed it on the map here, coming the east route here.
Right.
All right. And so one of the things you're discovering is your kind of pace is picking up here. You might go around the world a little faster than you were envisioning here.
Yeah, two things happened. We bought the bike, loved the bike, and we recently bought another city commuter for my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
you're traveling the world without her. She's like, honey, I want to go see the world too here.
My range and my insanity is far greater than hers at this point.
You think? So, I mean, you're tracking it around the world here and figuring out geographically where you are. That might be a little bit of an obsession here, yeah.
And so what I started doing was I had one of the old 48 volt batteries, and she's got the new 52 volt and the high amp hour battery.
Yeah, right.
And so
she can go further.
Yeah, but I've been switching off and doing that. So now I've got a high capacity battery of my own. Thank you, Don, by the way.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, Don wants to support round the world trips. He's for all this.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what that's done is if we look at that chart page, you can see where the pace has really picked up recently.
Yeah.
And that's the effect of having the second battery. So basically I've got is a long ride and a short ride every day.
How far do you go on average on a day? And where do you go? Is it just round and round the same path, or do you go and explore different routes different days?
I have a set route because I don't want to get 20 miles away from home and get out of battery and then find out that I've got, you know, 10 miles to walk the bike back.
Yeah, so, honey, can you come get me? Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I've been doing is I've got a regular route that I follow, and that helps keep me out of trouble, because here on the coast, we get a sea breeze that can be very intense and never from the same direction twice. You might start out riding into the wind and think, oh, great, this is going to be easy because I'll be riding with the wind on the way back. And lo and behold, it turns.
And all of a sudden, you have to turn into it or turn away from it. Yeah.
Right. So I try to make sure that I've got at least a bar of battery left when I...
And how many miles a day are you... I'm trying to look at the charts. I know it's in here somewhere. How many miles a day are you trying to average or pace? Or kilometers, whichever one you want to give me.
So those pace lines are based on from halfway around the world getting the other half done.
Right.
What they show is that on those four time horizons, those are the slopes of the line I need to stay between to reach that. So right
somewhere
now,
between one column and a... So just give me a rough idea how many miles or kilometers you try and put in a day, every day.
So when I was on just the one battery, I was about 36 miles a day. Uh-huh. Now what I'm doing is a 40-mile ride in the morning and probably a 25-mile ride in the afternoon.
And how long does that take you? I'm trying to picture, you're the data nerd. I'm trying to figure out, let's see, how many miles per hour is he going on average? And he's going 40 miles, so.
Yeah, typically about 17 miles an hour. So if you're familiar with the bikes.
Anybody but an engineer would say, oh, I'm going 20, I'm going 10. He goes 17 miles an hour, folks. He's tracked
it. Well, and that's a function of the gear you're in. That you have,
right,
and whether you have the torque sensor going on and what kind of wind conditions you have.
Wow, and I'm sure you're charting all of that.
I don't track the wind. I just know that it's a factor and try to make sure I got enough battery.
We got to get you whatever they call the little wind meter that sits on your handlebars here or something. And let's see, let me calculate the wind speed and what am I going to do. This is an incredible project. This has become a passion. I mean, you don't do this just once in a while. You do this every day.
Well, it's part of the fun of the thing. And the other thing it does is it keeps me honest and it keeps me motivated.
Yeah, that, right. You know, when you get up and say, I don't want to do it today. Ah, forget
it. Exactly.
Yeah, right.
And it's only going to get worse, you know, if you don't do it because, you know, you've got that pace line.
That's right.
It's still going up whether I'm on the bike or not.
So yeah, you got a goal to set. So what was your original goal when you started figuring this out? How long was it going to take you to get around the world? And what are you projecting now?
Well, what I had was really no idea because based on where I was when I hit the second one, I said, well, let's just double that, see where we are. And that's what that last timeline for August of 2023 mm-hmm. ended up. And so then I worked it backward 4 months at a time saying, well, gee, you know, now that I've got a little experience with the thing and I'm a little better shape and that sort of thing. Let's just do it in different deadlines. And then each one of those set a pace line. And right now I am tracking in between December 31st and August 31st of this year. So sometime in the August to December time frame, I was tracking that for most of the ride after midpoint. And then recently with the having the second battery and great weather that we've had this past winter and
you're pushing yourself farther. You're going farther. You're going faster. You're moving.
Yep.
You're moving the timeline
exactly.
up here.
Exactly.
Yeah. What do we do when you cross the line? We've got to come up with something at Pedego here. I don't know what we can do. We have a giant banner that we create, like those paper banners that you break through. You know, you have to, we've got to stretch something across the road and stage something so that as you break through this mileage, we know the exact moment and the exact place. We chronicle this for the world, and we get a video done, or we got to do something here, or you've got to do something.
Yeah, I would think that there's got to be something like that we do. It turns out that around the world is, I think it's 40,064 or some weird, you know, little extra smidgen of miles or kilometers like that. And so that means that 60 kilometers after the fourth rollover. Mm-hmm. So that'd give me a event with the rollover.
I see, and then so you're coming close. Now I can get, I've rolled it over four times. I only got to go another day or two, another 30
right.
kilometers.
So what I'm thinking is that we'll try to jive that with one of the hog rides that Jason and Emily do there.
Yeah.
I had to go 30A. And in the time that I've had the bike, they've gone from that store and they've opened up a second store close by. And they're only a few miles away, and so that might be the victory lap, so to speak.
Yeah, you got to. We got to come up with some, either we got to do it, or your dealers down there. We got to come up with something that we can come back to our audience and say, "Hey, remember this story from 6 months ago? We're getting close. We're getting ready." And I would think it's like a paper banner that, even if it's just hand drawn or something or whatever, you can print. But like they break through. You always see people breaking through that last, you know, barrier, and then you ride through it and somebody captures this, right?
The other thing I was thinking about is, what if we got all the communities of Pedego riders that we've got, and then have a weekend or something and just see how many collective miles we can put together.
Wow.
And are there enough riders with enough bikes to get around the world in, you know, some period of time,
in a month, in a week, in a sometime here. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, throw a pledge and a fundraiser and something.
There you go.
There's
got to
be something fun with you.
Got to be something to do. All right, well, we're going to put you in team. You're in touch with Carly. I know Don loves to listen to these shows. Don, there's your challenge. We got to come up with some around the world completion here, some victory lap here. Have you come out to California and ride the last one down PCH or something to the headquarters or something here?
I would love to do that.
Wouldn't that be cool? You ride up and we break through here. Well, something fun like that. We're gonna continue this conversation offline, because now you got me into this. I really think you're going around the world. This is like real to me now. You're not just putting 40,000 miles. We've had people come out, I put 40,000 miles, put 100,000. That sounds amazing, but there's no, I have no way to relate that to anything. What does 40,000 miles look like? That's around the world, folks. 40,000 kilometers. That's around the world.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, you've put it down in a very clear format, as only an engineer would do here. You're tracking it, you're monitoring it, and you're getting pretty darn close. You're within sight of coming around the world, putting that many miles on your bike. Did you ever envision when you got into this that you'd put 40,000 kilometers, that you would effectively ride around the world?
My manifesto for this is, I ride the e-bike for fun. I understand that there is an outside chance that I'll end up getting some fresh air and exercise.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to assume that risk in exchange for the fun that I have. That heads off all of this, you know, the spandex crowd that are saying, well, yeah, but it's not a real bike.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I don't care. I'm riding the bike for fun and I'm having a good time.
Well, and I like that you called it in manifesto, because I'm an old hippie, so this is like our revolutionary manifesto here, right? You know, we're going to change the world. We're going to ride around the world. This is the e-bike revolution, after all, here. The world is on its own revolving axis. You're riding it literally that far all the way around
the
world.
Exactly, and Pedego has that slogan of hello fun, and that truly is. You know, it's like a flashback to that just joyous ride you had as a kid, when you felt like you could go forever.
Absolutely. You were flying. It was your flyer. It was your radio flyer. Yeah. Right.
And now you can do it.
You got streamers coming out the back and you're screaming, "Wee!"
Yeah.
Well, we can't wait to see how this story, we know how it ends. We just don't know when. So we're wildly anticipating. Well, it's like, come in Houston, or we're tracking the ride around the world. Where is he at now here? He's in Pago. He's in Timbuktu. And he's getting close here. Well, you're getting close.
I probably have to do something as I get back onto North American soil.
Yeah.
I was thinking of, you know, you've got Portland, Maine, and you've got Portland, Oregon, and maybe, you know, those are far enough away that you could track along the coast that way. Maybe have one come down from Chicago or Minnesota, you know, just all.
We got to come up with a big finish. This kiss can't be one morning you do it and you say, well, that was fun. And then we got to figure out what comes next. Maybe it's a ride to the moon or something here.
That's
a ride through the universe. I don't know where. What's the next destination we go? A ride to Mars, or so? You and Elon Musk are going to Mars here together. Yeah.
The moon is close to a quarter million miles.
Oh,
so
a breeze. A breeze.
That's about 10 times the circumference of the Earth.
Just gives you something further to shoot for here. More data to enter into the spreadsheet. All right. Well, thank you for joining us with what is probably the craziest, most amazing, but coolest love story I've heard to date yet here. Not somebody who just loves doing it, but who's turned it into an imaginative journey, like a little kid going around the world here and actually tracking it in real time, where he is and where he's going. How cool is that? Thank you for sharing it with us. Please come back. We got you're guaranteed another slot on the Pedego podcast as you get closer here. And we got to find some way. Don, Carl, everybody, we got to make this a big splash at the end here. I'm going to push for that here.
And again, this only worked because the bike has just been so doggone reliable.
Well,
and
there you go. Thank you for that.
Just goes. Took our time and selected the right one, and we've been so happy with it. We bought the second one for Nancy, and couldn't be happier.
Thank you for that. You didn't have to say that, but we appreciate it. And that's why we build it that way. That's why they build it that way, because we want to empower people to have these imaginative journeys to get out there and ride again without having to worry about the equipment here. All right. Thank you so much. We're talking with one of the most dedicated love stories I've ever heard on this show, and I'm likely to hear. And just the first leg of the journey as we complete a ride around the world with our guest, Richard Davis. Thanks for joining us here on the Pedego podcast.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Well, there you have it, folks. If I've said it 100 times, I'll say it 100 more. These are the most amazing journeys, the most incredible stories of people doing things right here with these bikes as they travel around the world and create an e-bike revolution. We're talking with the love stories of those riding along and the entrepreneurs driving the whole movement on the Pedego podcast. For more information, simply visit pedego.com or tune in each and every week to hear more.